Okay, we're holding on Nunheim Aleph at the very top. Okay, still on the topic of the machlokas of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah concerning the chilul of something that belongs to Hekdesh, whether that happens to Shogeg or Bemezid, and, well, originally we got into it via the question of can you be Mekadesh with Hekdesh, can you be Mekadesh a woman with Hekdesh, and that led us into the discussion, Baklal, does the chilul take place when you do it for Shogeg versus Bemezid? We said that Rav had said there doesn't seem to be any such distinction, therefore you have to say it's talking about Big Kahuna, and we had Rabbi Yochanan and Rapada, each in their own way, who said that you can, that there is such a distinction, because she wouldn't want to accept Kiddushin if it was done b'mezid. It would be a Mekach Toros, basically. So now, continuing on this topic, the Gemara is going to start off with a Mishnah from Masechta Shkolim, which is going to bear on this, and then we'll see further about Rav Meir versus Rav Yehuda on it. Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Shkolim. If you find an animal anywhere between your Shalayim and Migdal Eder is a place south of your Shalayim. Migdal Eder is a place south of your Shalayim. You find it in Parshas Vayishlach, but after during Yaakov's travels, after Rachel passes away, after Rachel passes away and he buries her in Beis Lachem, after that, Vayet Olo Mahalo the Migdal Eder. He travels further, he's going to Hebron, and he camps in Migdal Eder. So it's someplace between Beis Lachem and Hebron, apparently. Whatever it is, so if you find an animal anywhere from your Shalayim until there, or Chubidotha L'chol Ruach, or the same distance in any other direction, you draw a circle of that radius around your Shalayim, if you find an animal in it. Now the thing is, that animal may well have come from your Shalayim. And most animals that are in your Shalayim are Korbanos. People, there's no particular reason to have some animals in your Shalayim. Therefore, you have a real concern. Therefore, you have a real concern that it may be a Korban. Okay, before Shem asks the question, I mean, what about
the... Did they have a tag for them as Korban?
No, nowadays, the usual way they tag animals is like by putting a tag on their ear or whatever, but first of all, I don't think that existed in those days, and second of all, that would make the animal move.
Right,
that would make the animal bomb.
String or something.
They could have, in principle, but I mean, you had a lot of people bringing a lot of korbanos. It's not like, you know, there wouldn't necessarily have been anything distinctive about it. Whatever. The point is that the animal may well be a korban. Okay, before we talk about the question, I mean, so what? Most of the animals in the world are not korbanos. Why should we assume that this one is? And basically, the answer is because it's common, actually, once you have, you know, after all, when you designate an animal for a korban, there is usually some finite amount of time before you actually are able to offer it as a korban, before you're able to get to the Beis Mikdash to offer it. Meanwhile, it's got to be fed, so you're going to send it out to pasture near your Shalayim. So therefore, it's not a matter of any more that most of the animals in the world are in this case. It's basically a matter of kavua. It's a thing with kavirs that most animals in this area, that many animals in this area, doesn't have to be most, many animals in this area are kodshim, and therefore you have to be concerned for all of them.
I think we're inside your Shalayim or also outside your Shalayim.
Not just we're talking outside. I mean, if you find, the point is you found the animal, you don't know whose it is. I mean, obviously, if you find out who the owner is and he tells you whether it is or not, then you have nothing to worry about. We're talking like you didn't find the owner. Incidentally, by the way, this Mishnah and the whole discussion on it, a large part of the discussion on it, on Beis, the Gemara is going to deal with all the possible permutations of what this animal could actually be, what kind of korban it's going to actually be. This is actually an interesting preview of the fact that in Rambam tomorrow, both those who learn Shlosha Prakim and those who learn Perek Echad are going to be learning something of the topic tomorrow. It's in Perek Vav of Sulam Mekdashim, which, as it happens, is the second Perek of tomorrow's Gimel Prakim, as well as the one Perek of tomorrow's Perek Echad. So you found this animal. It may well be a korban. What are you supposed to do with it? Zchorim Oilus. If it's a male animal, you have to assume that it may be an oilus. Mekavis divchei shlomim. If you find a female animal, a female can't be an orla, an orla adapt has to be a male. Therefore, you assume that it's a shlomim. Again, on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the various other possibilities. There's various other you could have various other korbanos, various other permutations that can be. We'll get to that later, but for the time being, the problem is right now what we're dealing with. What are you telling me? Males are dafka going to be orlas? There's no possibility they can be shlomim. A shlomim can be a male or a female. What do you mean? On the face of it, the Mishnah is telling us, bring the korban as an olo, bring it as a shlomim. How can you do that? What if you, if it's a female animal, how can you say bring it as a shlomim when it might have been designated as an olo? The other way around, sorry. Yeah. If it's a male animal, how can you bring it as a shlomim when it might well have been designated as an olo? The other way around, actually. Sorry. How can you bring it as an olo when it may have been a shlomim? That's what I meant to say, yeah. We're actually, you're right. You're not talking about bringing the actual animal itself as a korban. However, if the person who found it wants to do something, he wants to get this animal out of the suffix situation and be able to use it, then you have to treat it as if it was an ola or shlomim respectively, as we will see. Tosfos has a couple of problems with Rashi's explanation. Among others, we're going to go on to say that what he's doing is he's machalol the animal using other animals. The problem is you're not allowed to do that with an animal which is a tummim. You're allowed to do that when the animal is a balmum, but not when it's a tummim. So
we cannot characterize one animal.
Well, meaning another. Okay, you know what? Let's blow in the next couple of lines of the Gemara, and then we'll talk about Tosfos' question and talk about a few other things. Okay, so v'bal lochu b'dmei skin, and this person is coming. He's going to obligate himself in doing something to make this animal usable, and that the value of it should go to hektish as a carbon. V'hakakama chashin and shema oilas. What we mean is not for sure this animal is an oila. There's a possibility that it may be an oila if it's a male or a shlomim if it's a female. And therefore, we would have to say that this Mishnah goes like Rav Meir. D'Amar, that he says, Hektish b'mezid mischalol. He says, as we said in our Mishnah, that if you're makadish using Hektish and you do it b'mezid, the kedushin is valid because you have been machalol it. You have, by doing it b'mezid, you have taken the thing out of the resource of Hektish. Same logic over here then. What you're doing is you bring two sets of money. One that you'll designate to bring an oila, one that you'll designate to bring a shlomim, to buy animals with, respectively. You say, if this animal was an oila, then I'm mechalal it on this one, and the other one, and if it was a shlomim, then it'll be mechulal on the other one. But it's b'mezid in the sense that you're deliberately transferring the kedusha from the animal onto this money. You're not doing it b'shogig as if like you didn't realize that it was hektish.
Deliberately transferring a kedusha. You don't know if you're transferring the right or the wrong.
Well, fine, but one of the two. Either it's an oila or it's a shlomim, as we're talking about. I mean, later on, again, we'll talk about other possibilities, what else it could be. But for the time being, we're assuming it's just an oila or a shlomim. And therefore, an oila and a shlomim can both be brought b'nedava. You can bring an oila or a shlomim voluntarily whenever you want. So once you do that, you have two sets of money. One of them actually has taken over the kedusha of this animal. You just don't know which one, but it doesn't matter. You use one to buy an animal for an oila, one to buy an animal for a shlomim. You bring them both, end of story. And the animal itself is mecholo. Now that only works according to Rav Meir, again, because only Rav Meir says that you can do such a thing amazing. And not right. Now Tosfos has a problem with all of this because Tosfos says we know that there's a din that you can't be poida an animal which is a tummy. We're not finding that Rav Meir makes any such distinction that he would say you can do that b'shogig, you can't do it b'mezid. So what are we trying to say? What does that have to do with the machlokas of Rav Meir and Rabbi Huda? Rav Meir himself has to agree with
you
the din that
you have to poida an animal that has a mom only.
There's a Xeris HaKosav, we learn it from a Pasuk and in Parashas B'Kosai, that if an animal is a tomim, you're not allowed to be, and it has Kedusha Saguf, then you're not allowed to be poided. As the Gemara is going to go on, the Gemara is not going to bring the actual limit over here, but whatever. Well, that's what we're going to have to talk about, that's what we have to figure out. But anyway, so Tosfos answers that, Tosfos gives an answer that actually we're not talking about, that when we say over here, b'vol lochol b'dmehen, we don't mean, like Rashi says, that he wants to just make this animal usable. What it actually means, Tosfos says, is he wants to be goizel it. He wants to steal it. He found this animal. He wants to take it out of the possession of the person who was makdish it. He wants to be able to take it and use it for some carbon. Later on, after he did that, after he transferred its kedusha onto some other animal, which therefore made it chulin, which he may not have been allowed to do, but fine, he went and did that. Now he had the idea, you know what, I should really be doing something about the value of it. I really do need, I have sort of committed me'ilah over here. I do have to pay back that fish for it. How do I go about it? So then we're saying you take the two sets of money. Marsha actually has an interesting take on what Tosfos says over here. She discovered the Gozla. Marsha says it doesn't mean the Gozla in the sense he was trying to do an Avera, he deliberately is a thief. What it actually means is he figured, you know what, we have a problem over here. This person lost his animal, which may well be a carbon. What are we going to do to prevent this animal from being misused? We can't wait. I don't want to sit around and wait until it develops a mum. Meanwhile, somebody may misuse it. Therefore, I am going to deliberately go. Now, it's true. It's a tumim. I'm not supposed to be redeeming it. But nevertheless, I'm going to do that just for the sake of making sure that it doesn't end up getting, that ne'ilah doesn't end up being done with it. In that sense, it goes well.
What's worse, you need to commit ne'ilah, or to put it something you're not supposed to?
Well, there's a cost if you're not supposed to, but it's not an actual lav. It's not an actual lav to be put
as
mimim.
As opposed to
ne'ilah, which is. So he wants to prevent that happening, so therefore in that sense, it goes well. Yeah. The question is, Kedushas HaGuf mean Mechalel? Okay, but something that has Kedushas HaGuf, how can you be Mechalel it if it doesn't have a mum? V'hatnan, but we learn in a Mishnah.
But if you make it Poydeh, but you cannot.
Yeah. That's the question. How can you be Poydeh something that has Kedushas HaGuf unless it develops a mum? V'hatnan, ein moyel acha moyel b'mukdashin, ela b'behemru v'chlei shoros lovad. There's no such thing as one person committing Me'ilah after another when it comes to things of Hekdesh. With one object of hektish, ela b'behemu v'chlei shoras v'lvad, only with animals of kodshim is be'ach, korbanos, or chlei shoras, the actual kelim that are used to serve in the bismikdash. We discussed yesterday that Tosfos had wanted to say that big dekhona are in that category anyway.
And
moyel acha moyel, meaning like this, keta, what do we mean? Well, the in other words, like this, if, for example, let's say, for example, you have something that's not a behemoth or a flea charis, something else. Let's say something else that belongs to Hekdesh. If you went and committed Me'ilah, let's say. Tosfos actually quotes from a Tosefta that gives an example, an axe. Okay. So let's say, for example, Tosfos gives the distinction, for example, based on a braisa in Tosefta on Me'ilah. That goes like this. Let's say you have an axe of Hekdesh. Now, there's two things you can do with that axe. You could use it. You could actually go chop wood with it. Or you could go and give it to somebody else. If you actually chopping with it, then there is Me'ilah Acha Me'ilah. That's because you used it. Each person used it. So one person used it, and they had Hanah from it, and they also damaged it a little bit. The next person did the same. The next person did the same. Each one has committed Me'ilah on it. That's what we mean, Moyel Acha Moyel. Same thing over here with the behemoth, as we're going to say in a second, for example, of different people ride on an animal. And similarly with clay shards. On the other hand, if you give the axe to somebody else, you have committed Me'ilah because you've taken out of the Rishos of Hekdesh. The other person, though, has not committed Me'ilah, and they're actually able to use that axe. It no longer belongs to Hekdesh. You have committed Me'ilah. You're the one who's going to have to pay back Hekdesh and bring your Asham. The other person, it's already out of the Rishos of Hekdesh. So they're not responsible for anything.
Previously, we said if you use it and then you give it to someone.
As opposed to we said if you use the axe and then somebody else takes the axe and also uses it and so forth, each one, and that's moyel acha moyel. So in other words, the difference is basically, are we saying the thing has left the Rishos of Hekdesh, has become nischalel or not? We're saying in the case, for example, of using it, it has not left the Rishos of Hekdesh, giving it to somebody else has. So we're saying that the basically behema and clay shoris. Okay, actually, I mean the Rambam, when the Rambam discusses this halacha, he doesn't use the word clay shoris, he uses the word clay tashmish, because he wants to include the example of the axe. The axe is the pashta, it's not a clay shoris. They don't use axes for any particular purpose of the avodah in the mitzvah. But it's a clay tashmish for something that you use. The Ravid actually argues on that, because the Ravid says that on the face of it, then, if, you know, if we're saying over here, if the Mishnah we're quoting over here mentions Kli Shoreis, and the Braisa is mentioning axes, which are not Kli Shoreis, okay, the Braisa contradicts the Mishnah. You can't pass them like the Braisa against the Mishnah. So therefore, the Ravid limits it to Kli Shoreis.
Are they the cutting wood?
What? They're cutting the wood, though, that's not directly an avodah.
Even if they did,
that doesn't make a Kli Shoreis. A Kli Shoreis is something you use directly for the Korbanos. But you have, for example, the story of the Koyan over there, the Baal Mum, who was checking the wood for worms, and it mentions over his axe over there. So I guess they used an axe to be able to break apart the wood and check for worms, but still, that doesn't make it a Kli Shoreis. no more so than, I mean, yesterday we were talking about whether the Big Dick Kahuna themselves are considered Klei Shoris. Tosfos argued that they are, but most other Rishonim argue they're not, because they're only a prerequisite for the Karbonis. They're not actually used for the Karbonis per se.
You don't do the Avodah with it.
You don't do the Avodah with it, exactly. Again, I mean, yeah, I mean, by the same logic, I mean, you could well end up using an axe, for example. You know, you have a big side of beef over there that has to be chopped up for the Kohenim to be able to eat. You might well cut it with an axe, but again, that doesn't make it a Klei Shoris. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Sam, what do we mean? Suppose that one person was riding on an animal. So you have an animal, which is, it's kodshim, it's being brought to the carbon. It's supposed to be brought to the carbon. One person rides on it. Another person comes and rides on it. And then a third person comes and rides on it. Kulamalu, all of them have committed me'ila. Riding on it has not taken it out of the reshus of hektish. And therefore, each one has committed me'ila.
But if you take an animal
and give it to the other person. Right. Well, that's what Tosfos is quoting from the Brice over there. I mean, mind you, we talked about yesterday that Bapada had said that Rav Meir holds that Mi'ila is only exists when you do Achila, only when you consume the thing. So how does that fit with over here? A couple of Mephoshim talk about the possibility that maybe when we said Achila over there, we didn't mean Dapka, something that we mentioned yesterday, that it means actually consuming it, like literally eating it or burning it or what have you. It may also mean when you're having Hana from the thing itself. As for example, using an axe to chop wood, as opposed to where you're actually having hana from the axe itself, as opposed to when you give it to somebody else, where it's more of an indirect hana. Another example, Hoya Shosa B'Koshchol Zahav. Suppose one person is drinking out of a golden cup, which is again one of the Klei Shoris. Bachaved of a Shosa, Bachaved of a Shosa. Second person comes and drinks from it, and so does the third person. Kolam Malo, again, all of them have committed Me'ila. That's what we mean by Behemo Klei Shoris. The point is, therefore, that these things, the behemah and the Klei Shoris, have Kedushas HaGuf. That's why we're saying that there is Moyol Acha Moyol by them, because you having used it does not take it out of the property of Hektish. By the same logic over here, going back to the case of the found animal, it has Kedushas HaGuf. We have to assume it does. Anyway, we have to assume that it's a carbon. How are you able to mechalal it on money? The answer is, Ahi Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, let's assume that the Mishnah in Shkolim goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said in our Mishnah that Hektish is Mishalal B'Shoigig and not B'Mezid. The Mishnah that we just quoted from the Ilah about Ein Moyol Acha Moyol, that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. He says that B'Mezid, you're not Mechalal the thing. Good, well, that's what we're talking about. You rode on the animal B'Mezid. Somebody else rode on it B'Mezid, etc. It still keeps its Kedusha. Hora Meir, whereas the Mishnah in Shkolim is according to Rav Meir. Hora Meir actually belongs to the next. Hayi Rabbi Yehuda, fine. Let's answer that the Mishnah in Me'ilah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. The problem with that is, the Gemara says, The question is, mid Rabbi Yehuda nishmal Rabbi Meir. Fine. However, though, shouldn't we be able to use Rabbi Yehuda's opinion to deduce what Rabbi Meir said? Because, fine, they're arguing in our Mishnah about B'Shogig B'Mezid, but they must be talking about the same basic type of Hektish, whether we're talking Kedushas HaGuf or Kedushas Damim. It can't be that one of them is talking about Kedushas HaGuf and the other one is talking about Kedushas Damim. Lav Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hektish B'Shogig Mishalol, we do find, after all, in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you use hektish b'shoigig, then it's mischalal. It now becomes cholin, and you're chayav for a korban meila. Or kedushas haguf lo mischalal. However, we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that kedushas haguf does not, something that has kedushas haguf, like an animal or a klei shoris, does not lose its kedusha by being used
b'shoigig, or also b'meila.
Lachora, either one. But a meir nami. So according to Rav Meir, also afgab the hektish b'mezid mischalos. Fine, he can say that it happened b'mezid as well. Kedushas haguf lo mischalos. Still, they should agree with the basic concept, though, that kedushas haguf cannot be lost.
So both should argue in this hypothesis that kedushas haguf doesn't
can't be lost, and therefore it shouldn't matter. So b'shogig b'mezid, it shouldn't matter. How can we say that the Mishnah in Shkolim, where we're telling you b'mezid, you're going to go transfer the kedusha of the animal onto money, that would work according to the mayor. In the case of Ein Moyol Acha Moyol, would be according to the Yehuda. Both of them ought to agree. Kedusha Saguf means that the intrinsic object itself is Kaddish, as opposed to Kedusha Sdomim just means that the value of it has kedusha. Your typical Hektish Bedek Abayis, the typical thing that belongs to Hektish and Bedek Abayis, is Kedusha Sdomim. The axe, for example. It's not that the axe, it's the axe itself is the property of Hekdesh, but not in the sense that it's actually used for the Avodah, like we said before. All it is the value of the axe belongs to Hekdesh. They're entitled, for example, to sell it and use the money towards the repair and the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. They can use it for tasks around the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe even, maybe they can rent it out and use the rental value also to go towards Hekdesh. Whatever it is, but it's not Kedusha Guf. It's not something that's intrinsically holy. It's just something, the value of it. If you were to go buy it off of Hekdesh, you pay Hekdesh the value. Fine, you own an axe now.
The value remains always in Hekdesh, in other words.
That's the point.
As opposed to
Kedusha Gumim, where there's no buying it out, so there's no buying it out from Hekdesh. It itself is being used as a korban or to bring the korbanos or what have you. The answer is Hossam, Lo Kamachavim, Lo Pinu Lekulin. Yes, but the difference is that in the case of the animal, you're not having kavana to take it out and make it chulin. Whereas over here you are. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says like this: it is true that on the face of it, the only difference between a meyer and a behoda is whether it happens b'mezid or b'shogeg. On the other hand, that's the difference, because Reb Meir is saying that it happens that it is mischalal b'mezid, therefore
only.
So therefore, what does it mean? We're not talking about in the case of the Mishnah and Shkolim specifically. The difference between shogeg and mezid is that when you're doing it b'mezid, you are actually meaning to take it out into chulin. So therefore, that's powerful enough. Your intention to bring it out with chulin has the ability to even override Kedushas HaGuf, even though you would think that not. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that can only happen b'shogeg, well, b'shogeg, that doesn't give you the ability to override Kedushas HaGuf. It makes you chayev and a korban. That's a zeh zakasos.
According to Rabbi Meir, mezid means two things. Number one, use it with intent. And number two, with the intent being to take it out.
Well, that's what it means. When you're using it, it means that you're taking it out. B'chulin, yeah.
And if you have in mind to keep it in Kedush and use it, keep it in Kedush. Keep the Kedusha.
I don't know that would work. I mean, like this, we're talking. Okay, I mean, Rashi uses the expression avochilu mezid l'rameir miskavim apochinu l'chulin. So maybe you're right. Maybe it only means when he means to be mechalal. Maybe if he just means maybe could be. I don't know.
Otherwise,
okay, it's possible. Anyway, that's the difference. You're arguing that Rameir and Rav Yehuda shouldn't be arguing whether Kedusha HaGuf can be law. I'm arguing back that no, actually, because there is a possible argument, because since the point of Rameir, it's only happened to mezid. That mezid is strong enough to be able to accomplish that.
Up to now, we were saying that to take it out of Hekdesh, it has to be bemezid, meaning you do it voluntarily. Now we're saying not only you do it voluntarily, but you have to have the intent to take it out of Hekdesh.
Well, no, because we were talking about before b'shogeg as well. I mean, remember when you usually throughout Shas, when we talk about me'ila, usually it means b'shogeg.
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
Well, even according to the mayor, I mean, all the various Mishnayos in the Ila, for example, and in other places that talk about when you send somebody with money, for example, to buy something and it winds up being Hekdesh or whatever, okay, we said fine. According to the mayor, we said spending money itself in and of itself doesn't constitute the Ila, fine. But but if you use something, whatever, the usual assumption is that it's talking about b'shogeg. What we're saying is there's a difference between, Tosfos discusses it a little bit over here, there's a difference between the chilul and the chiyuv of me'ila. They're not necessarily the same thing. There's the chiyuv of me'ila, which is, as Rashi says over here, there's the kosev, you use something of hektish, the shogig, you chayev a korban.
Right.
Then there's the question of chilul, has the object itself actually become chulin? Usually those two things go together. When it becomes chulin, you chayev and a korban me'ila. But not necessarily is there an automatic connection between those two things. We're saying over here that you can have a case where you're chayev in the korban, but chilul has not happened, namely b'shogeg, according to the mayor. Can you have the other case? Or also, can you have a case you can have the case b'mezid. If you b'mezid, you machalal it, and you're not chayev in the korban, because the korban is only for b'shogeg. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, we don't really have a stira between. So we don't really have a stira between the Mishnayos. After all, we are saying that if you ride on the animal or whatever, you. We can still say that Mishnah about riding on the animal or whatever, assuming that's b'mezid, would be according to Rav Yehuda, because after all, if you did it b'mezid according to the mayor, you would have been mechalalit. But in the case of the animal that you found near Yerushalayim, we were saying that you're transferring the dursha of it onto money, which you're then going to be using to bring karbonis. That's fine. Rav Meir doesn't have that can work out very well according to Rav Meir, because you're doing it b'mezid. Yes, you're able to be mechalal the dursha of an animal that even though it doesn't have a moon. You're not allowed to. Okay, we're not dealing with the allowed to or not. Again, like Marshall said before, maybe you're doing it as sort of the lesser of two evils. Right. Yeah. Okay. Problem is, Amar d'shama pleilei Rav Meir b'kodesh kodeshim. Fine. We see that Rav Meir holds this whole concept by kodesh kodeshim. For example, this whole concept that you're able to be mechalal hektish b'mezid, for example, like we said in our Mishnah, fine, that applies to kodesh kodeshim. For example, hektish abedik abayis. Or anything else that belongs completely to the Eibishter, to the Beis Hamikdash. B'kodshim kalim yishamatle. Where do you find a case where he says the same thing by kodshim kalim?
Kli sharis.
No, kli sharis for that purpose are also considered kodshim because they belong 100% to the mizbeach for the Beis Hamikdash. The problem is, Mefarshim point out there's two things that make the Gemara think there should be a difference. One is that Kodshim Kalim majority of them, belongs to the owner. Kodshim Kalim are things like a shlomim, for example. Most of the shlomim ends up getting eaten by the owner. So you could argue, the mayor would say that's fine. You're taking something that belonged 100% to Hektish, to Kodshim Vedekabayis, Kodshim Mizbeach, or whatever, or most of 100% or whatever, and you're using it the mazid, fine, you're taking it out of that, for sure. How can you say, by Kodshim Kalim, where only, 15 or 20 or whatever it is, percent of it belongs to Hektish, the Emurim, the parts that go to the Koyanim or whatever, the rest you're going to be taking home and eating, anywhere in Yerushalayim. How could we say that b'mezid you're able to accomplish chilul with such a thing? That's one way of looking at it. The other thing is you could argue when you have something which is kodshim or hektish bedekabayis or whatever, then it's a big bizoyan to take it out of there and make it and put it into you and transfer it to Yerushalayim. So fine, you can argue again. A person has the chutzpah to do that, b'mezid, then fine, that chutzpah has a certain effect. Chutzpah is a powerful thing. Mashenkim, a kodshim kalim, where it's not such a big bizoyan, it's not such a big chutzpah, because anyway, yeah. So then maybe according to the mayor wouldn't work. So one of the chachamim answers, his name is Rabbi Yaakov, he says, true, but kal v'chomer. After all, you can say that a mayor, you can argue a kal v'chomer, according to the mayor. Kodshim kalim, kodshim kalim l'koshkin. Fine, but after all, said and done, kodshim have a higher level of kedusha. If you're able to be, fine, all these arguments notwithstanding, the fact is, kodshim kalim have a greater kedusha. If you're able to be, if we see that a mayor is holding that you from, or we see from our Mishnah that a mayor holds you're able to be mechalo kodshim kodshim, how much more so you're able to be mechalo kodshim kalim?
Why? Kodshim kalim, because kodshim, they're more holy, and as we said just now.
Fine. All of those arguments aside, the fact of the matter is that there is some part of them, there are significant parts of them that do belong to Hektish.
Still, not a majority.
It doesn't have to be a majority, as long as there's some percentage of it.
Isn't it excessive?
Well, not really excessive. I mean, we're saying the same thing as he says by Kodshim Kalim. We don't have to apply Dial of Omen Adin Lias Kenodna, but we're not trying to make Kodshim Kalim stronger than Kodshim Kodshim. We're just trying to say if it applies to Kodshim Kodshim, then fine, we can argue it applies to Kodshim Kalim as well.
The other way around. If you're saying for Kodshim Kalim, then you're going to...
No, because then you'd have a problem with that. But how can you say Kodshim Kodshim would have a greater level of Kedusha that you unilaterally are able to take them out of that Kedusha? Okay, you're right. I mean, Mefarshim do point out, you're right, it isn't such a strong Kal V'chomer, but okay, it's good enough for her.
We're saying Kal V'chomer, meaning if you...
If the mayor holds that you're able to do it with a higher level of Kedusha, for sure you're able to do it with a lower level of Kedusha. Okay. It's Marnami, so now that we established that, so now, yes, there was also reported, Amar Rav Chama Bar Akiva, actually it's supposed to be Bar Ukva, Omer Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Omer Hoya Rav Meir, that Rav Meir used to say, Hektish for Mezid Meskalo, Beshogig in Meskalo, that, as we said all this time, Hektish for Meskalo, Remezid, not Beshogig, like in our Mishnah.
Right.
Echad Kodshim Kodshim, Echad Kodshim Kalim, and this is true whether it's Kodshim Kodshim, like an Ola, or whether it's Kodshim Kalim, like a Shlomim. And that explains why in the Mishnah before, the Mishnah in Shkolim, that we talked about at the beginning of the Sugya, why you can say if the animal was a Shlomim, you can still be Mechalal it, because it is Kodshim, whether it's an Ola or a Shlomim, yeah. And a Kavah Chomer, Kodshim Kodshim Eschalim, Kodshim Kalim like Koshkin, because if Kodshim Kodshim can be Eschalim, how much more so Kodshim Kalim?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, fine. So far we have the Mishnah in Shkolim, and we have Rabbi Oshia's explanation of it, that what you're doing is you're not waiting until the animal develops a mum. What you're doing is you're transferring the kedusha of the animal onto money right away, and bringing that using that money to buy korbanos. Tohi bar Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Yochanan was investigating into this. He was looking into this to try and figure out the reasoning behind it. How can you say to somebody, go do an Aveira in order that a schus should be accomplished, in order that you should be able to fix up, that this animal should be able to be brought to the carbon? Rav Oshia's method, fine, that allows you to, now that the kedusha of it has been transferred onto money, one way or the other, the animal itself is now suitable to be brought to the carbon. Very well, but after all, we're saying before, there is an Isser, we established before, there is an Isser to be poida an animal which is a tummim. Here Rashi brings the limud, actually. The Pasuk mentions that if you have a behemoth tmeya, which belongs to Hektish, then you can be poided. Behemoth Tmei over there doesn't mean an animal of a non-kosher species, like a horse or something. It means an animal which is Tomei in the sense you can't bring it to the carbon, namely a Balmon. So then, Upada Ber Tefa, then you poid it, implying that if it's Tomei, you can't. Anyway, so what are we talking about over here, Rabbi Yochanan, saying, you, Rabbi Oshia, are telling me that this person now comes to us, the Beis Din, to ask, I found this animal, what should I do to be able to bring it to the carbon? We're going to tell him, do an Aveira, be poided as a Tomim in order to be able to bring it to the carbon. How can he do such a thing?
That's the initial question we pushed it.
Well, Ella, Omer Rabbi Yochanan said no. Rabbi Yochanan says no. We don't mean that the animal itself is brought to the carbon. We don't mean that the value of it is brought to the carbon while it's a tomim either. Mamtin la'acha tumam, you have to actually wait until the animal develops a mum, which, by the way, Tosfos points out, Rav Oshia did not accept that because Rav Oshia said, when the Mishnah said, Schorim oilus, when the Kavis Shlomim implied right away, it didn't say nothing about waiting for a mum. So therefore, Rav Oshia couldn't understand it that way, whereas Rav Yochanan is forced to explain it that way. Then, umaiti shtei behemos umasne. And then you bring two animals, one for an Ola, one for a Shlomim, and you make such a Tanai on it. Once it's a Baal Mum, you're able to be poyed it. There's no Easter anymore in it. So then you bring two animals, and you start making Tanai. Similar to before. If it was an Ola, then this goes instead of it. If it was a Shlomim, then this goes instead of it. You bring the Ola and the Shlomim, and you're covered. Well, except for now, the Gemara is going to start talking about the various other possibilities of what this animal could have been. But that's the next thing we need to get into. Tosfos starts with a basic question, though. Why, B'chlal, do you need two animals? Take one animal and say, if it was supposed to be an Ola, it'll be an Ola. If it's supposed to be a Shlomim, it'll be a what you do is like this, actually. You take one animal. What is it exactly? Tosfos is not dealing with the question of one animal. There's no way that you can do one animal that could be either an Ola or a Shlomim. No, Tosfos is rather dealing with a different issue Tosfos asks basically like this. Let's say it's a female animal. Fine, if it's a male animal, we know it can only be an Ola. We're talking about the case where it's a female animal where it can be an Ola or a Shlomim. Why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, should we say that you have to have two animals to make a tanai on?
It's a female.
If it's a female, which it could be an Ola or it could be a Shlomim. take one other animal, for example, say that if this animal originally was an Ola, then I'm going to... it's going to be either one or the other, right?
It's going to be what?
This original animal that you found, it's either an Ola or Shlomo, by assumption.
You said an Ola has to be a male.
No, sorry. Okay, so rather sorry. If it was a male animal, it could be an Ola, it could be a Shlomo. If it's a female animal, right. I keep on getting mixed up, sorry. If it's a female animal, it definitely has to be a Shlomo, no problem, fine. Then you only need one animal,
right.
Except as we'll talk about soon.
The male can be
but
both.
A male can be both. Okay, so now what Tosfos is asking like this, sorry. What Tosfos is asking like this. Let's say, why don't you say like this, bring one animal, instead of having to bring two, instead of waiting until it develops a mum, bring one animal as an exchange. Say like this, if this one originally was an Ola, then I'm taking it for myself and I'm bringing this animal as an Ola instead. If it was Kachim Kalim, if it was a Shlomim, then this animal itself can be brought as a Shlomim, and I'll bring and then this animal itself can be brought as a Shlomim.
What? What do you do with the animal?
No, because what you're saying is like, No, because what you're saying is like this. Tosfos is saying, if it was an Ola, Hareyani Goizla, then I'm going to steal it for myself as a Shlomim. Because again, Tosfos explained before that the whole case we're talking about over here is where the person is intending to steal it and afterwards he wants to make it up to Hekdesh. Instead, this other animal I'm going to bring in as an Ola. So now I'm bringing the original animal, the Shlomim, even though originally it was designated as an Ola, and now I'm bringing an Ola instead of it. If it was a Shlomim originally, then fine, it itself is a Shlomim, and then I'll bring another animal as an Ola. Why don't you just do that? Why do you need three animals over here? Why do you need the original animal as well as two?
If it was an Ola, you say I'm not going to goizle it?
I'm going to be goizle it, and make it, I'm taking it out of the Rishus of Hektish, which we established before, according to the mayor, you're able to do that to Mazid. And then, fine, I still have to make it up to Hektish, but...
Well, for a carbon that's a goizle.
Again, Tosfos was saying before that in Skaven Legozel Knoisim Yad Amakdish, he was going to be Zoche in it and then change it. I mean, at this point, you know, there was Yush on it, right? I mean, you know, the guy.
There's a pasuk that's
not. Ba'avetim Gozel, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Gozel.
Yeah. What? No, you're right. I mean, Anayasha Sona Gezel Ba'olo, yeah.
Exactly.
Right, but. Primarily, that's talking about what is it? The Gemara in Sukkah talks about that if you bring it before Yish, well, if you bring it, okay, before Yish, it doesn't belong to you anyway. But what does it talk about over there? The Gemara does mention it. It's true. Okay, let's put it this way: it is a mitzvah. It may be a mitzvah habar b'aveira, but after all, again, in this case, there's no alternative because what all you're supposed to do is an animal. After all said and done, this animal
and
may have been...
Then you just let it have a moon, and then you bring another one. Instead of saying you goizle it...
Fine, but the reason, Tosfos is mentioning that the Oshia didn't want to have to wait till it develops a moon because he understood the Mishnah to say that you shouldn't have to wait that.
The animal should be goizled?
But the other thing is also, the longer you wait until it develops a mum, again, the more possibility that Me'ila will be done, the more possibility that somebody may do other updates, such as shoeing it or using its wool or milk or whatever.
If you take it out, it goes out immediately. At least over there, maybe it's not going to be Me'ila if you wait.
But over here, after all, I mean, the person, when you were Gezel that it talks over there about in Sukkah is primarily where you stole it from somebody who you know that it belonged to them and you're taking it away from them. Like this, you don't even know who it belonged to. You found it, it has no simen or whatever.
Okay.
You know, the pashtus that was Yir Shanet, and you don't even know for sure if it was a korban. I mean, you do have a lot of sphakis one on top of the other. That in and of itself wouldn't prevent us from bringing it as a korban. Anyway, Tosfos' answer is that after all, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon, there is always the possibility this animal might have been a bechor or a meiser. Now, if it's an Ola or a Shlomim, if you know that it can sure only be an Ola or a Shlomim, it's not that big a deal, because an Ola and a Shlomim, the blood of them is brought on the Mizbeach the same way. You sprinkle it, Shtei Matronas, Shtei Nava, on two opposite corners of the Mizbeach.
Ola and Shlomim.
Bechor and Meister is only sprinkled once on the Mizbeach, Matana Achas or Rabbi Chichin Kanai Yisai. So you can't do that, because if this animal was a Bechor or a Meister, you can't undo its Bechorness or its Meisterness, and you can't put the blood on the Mizbeach. Yeah.
the way it's supposed to be.
So that is why Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Rabbi Oshia, he said you have to have two sets of money, and in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, he's saying you have to have two sets of animals rather than being makruv this animal itself. Well, Rabbi Yochanan is saying you can't be makruv the animal itself because of all this consideration. Okay, so now. So now let's go back to the Mishnah. We said Zchorim Oilus. We said if it's a male animal, we know for sure it's an Oila. Why? Dumatoidei. Never mind the question that might be a Shlomim, which we dealt with before. Besides that it could be an Oila or it could be a Shlomim, it could also be a Korban Toida.
An Asham it couldn't be.
An Asham we'll get to soon.
Okay.
Right. The answer is the Maisi Nami Toida. Okay, no problem. You bring a Toida as well. You make the same tonight. So does this mean that you actually bring three animals, an Oila, a Shlomim, and a Toda? Tosfos asks that question, which means that Tosfos evidently understands that, yes, you're going to need three animals.
So you have to take the animal when you find it?
What?
So you have to take it or just leave it?
Actually, so the Mishnah in Shkolim goes on to say over there that originally when a person would bring such an animal as a korban, Beis Din would force him to provide the nesachim for it. People would just say, you know what, I can't be bothered. Let me just leave the animal in the Beis Mikdash and run away and let the kohenim deal with it. So they made a sakana. They made a sakana that from now on the nesachim are brought from the money of Hekdesh. Tosfos seems to understand that he would actually have to have three animals. There are mefarshim, and the Rambam also says, that you don't actually need three animals, you just need two. You have to treat it as if it was a toida, which, as the Gemara was going to say, means that you bring the 40 loaves of bread with it that go with a toida. Not that you actually need three animals, though, because a toida is fundamentally a type of shlomim.
Okay.
So Tosfos, because Tosfos is dealing with the issue that a toda is only eaten l'yom v'layla for one day and one night.
A toda could be replaced by a shlomim. Could be not exchanged.
Not exchanged, but it's basically when you're bringing an animal to shlomim, it can sort of double as a toda. Tosfos has a problem with that because a shlomim is eaten for 2 days and one night. A toda is eaten for one day and one night. So how can you bring a korban where you're making it edible for less than the amount of time when it's supposed to be? It's called ein mevi'in kodshim l'beis hapsul. Tosfos says, evidently, the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't have a problem with that issue. The Rambam, who does have a problem with it, and on the other hand, says that you can have one animal that can double the Shlomim or a Toda. Mefarshim talk about different possibilities, how he would understand it, one of them being that maybe we're talking about the type of Shlomim over here, as the Gemara is going to say, which actually came, the Koyach, a Korban Pesach, which actually was a Korban Pesach that didn't get brought in its time, and becomes a Shlomim, where that actually has the same dinim of being eaten only for a day and a night. Yeah, we learned it himself way back when, yeah. Where it can only be eaten for a day and a night, like a Toda, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the Maisi Nami Toda. Okay, but boil lachem, doesn't the Toda need to be brought together with the bread, the 40 loaves of bread? Okay, the Maisi Nami lachem, yeah, fine, you also bring the bread. You bring the lachem as well. Tosfos, according to their shitta, points out that that means you need a third animal for a toda as well as the lechem, because you can't just bring the lechem by itself. It would be, if you don't have an actual toda over here, you'd have kulin bazara. The Rambam, who doesn't have a problem with that, again, the Mefarshim talk about various possibilities of how he would learn the situation, how he would understand the situation, one of them being that maybe you can bring the lechem with, again, since a shlomim and a toda are fundamentally the same korban, there's just the difference between them as far as the lechem and the amount of time they can be eaten, then yes, you can bring the lechem on the possibility that it's a toda and still have it sort of double as a shlomim.
So you bring one other animal or two?
So far what we're saying is you bring, according to Tosfos, you bring three animals.
Three animals.
One in case it was an Ola, one in case it was a Shlomim, one in case it was a Toda, and the Toda you bring together with Lachem. The Rambam would say that you only bring two, one for an Ola, one for a Shlomim. And the Shlomim you bring along with Lachem in case it was a Toda. Okay. The Dilma Oshem, who now is your question, what if this animal was an Oshem? The answer is Oshem, ben Shtei Shonim, but an Oshem... Most types of Asham have to be an animal within its second year. Actually, from 13 months old until the end of its second year. The Ishtakach ben Shonim.
Minimal, 2 years and
old. Exactly. No, it has to be adapted within its second year.
Exactly 2 years old.
Well, exactly within its second year. Within its second year. The Ishtakach ben Shonim, in this case, we're talking about a situation where you found an animal that's in its first year. So it can't be an Asham.
How do you know it's in its first year?
Okay, so Tosfos discusses that in a different context a little later. The answer basically is that, not over here actually, Tosfos discusses it in Gemara and Zvachim. No, Tosfos explains that, for example, Tosfos deals with it actually the other way around. We're going to talk about soon the case of the female animal. We say it's in its second year. How do you know it's not in its first year? So there, and in Zvachim or wherever it is, Tosfos answers that we're not talking about Dafka in its second year. In the case of a Chatas, it just has to be 2 years old or older.
Yeah,
so you find an animal that's 3 or 4 years old, you know it's not in its first year. Just say the same thing in reverse, though. You find a baby animal, you know it's not in its second year. You find a baby sheep, you know it's not in its second year.
Well, the difference in a year and 30 months is a small difference.
But it's still, you know, we're also not assuming the person lost his carbon the last day it was kosher to be brought, you know, right?
Yeah, but he has to have lost it within less than a year.
Yes, okay, well, we're not assuming that so long passed between when it was lost and when it was back. Okay, the Yom Asham Metzorahu, Asham Nazirhu. Fine, it could be an Asham of a Nazir or a Metzorah. Those are yearling animals. The answer is Lo Shechichi. Those are not very common. Those are not very common. You don't have to worry about this animal might be one of those because they're not a very common situation in the first place.
Asham Metzorah, they're behemoths?
Yeah, they're an Asham Metzorah is a sheep, and an Asham Nazir is also a sheep, a lamb, within its first year. Okay.
Behemoth.
Yeah, behemoth means animals in general, so it includes sheep. Tosfos deals a bit with the question about if it was an Asham Metzorah, what's the problem? You have the same Nesachim as a Shlomim, just use the same Tanai. If it was a Shlomim, then it'll be a Shlomim. If it was an Asham Metzorah, etc. But Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that, fine, we don't really need to ask about an Asham Metzorah. The question is really more of an Asham Nazir, because that doesn't have Nesachim. Also, on Asham Metzorah, you're supposed to put the blood of it on the ear and thumb and toe of the Metzorah. There's no Metzorah over here. And then the Tosfos brings one more answer from Reb Shimshon Mikutzi, that what's going to happen, eventually the person who owned the Asham is going to discover that's missing. He's going to bring another one. He's not going to know the original one was found and brought to the carbon. He's going to be bringing it. Chul Ma'azara. Okay.
Can you make a Tanai if it's Chul in the...
No, you can't bring it. No, with an Ola is one thing. You can bring an Ola and a Dabba. You can't bring an Asham on a Tanai like that. Next. The Duma Pesachu, fine, maybe this animal that you found that's within its year old, a sheep, is a carbon Pesach. And so Pesach Bizmane is Mizo Zahiribe. Yes, but the Pesach during the season when it's supposed to be brought, but right before Pesach, or maybe even a little after Pesach, because Pesach Sheni, people are very careful not to lose it in the first place. Shalobizmane is Shlomimhu. And if you find it outside of that time, it anyway automatically becomes a Shlomim, as we learned yet. Tosfos says if people are careful with it, how do you ever have a Pesach Shalom Bizmana anyway? And Tosfos answers, okay, let's say, for example, it was sick. Let's say, for example, the animal was sick, so you couldn't bring it then. Let's say, for example, the owners became Tomei. Or you could also have a case where you said, Tosfos talks about, you set aside two stock and two korbanos for achrayus. You set aside one, and then you said, the second one will be a spare in case I lose the original one.
Also, we saw that.
Yeah, we had that concept a lot, yeah. Next. The Dilma Bechorum Meiser, Ninu. Fine, yet another possibility. Maybe this found animal is a Bechorum Meiser. Hey, the Gemara says, Lamai Hilsa. So what are you concerned about if it's a Bechorum Meiser? Lamai Chlinim B'mumon. You're saying that in that case, you can't bring them as carbon. You're going to have to wait till they develop a mum and then eat them.
Sprinkling, you said.
No, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're not bringing the actual animal as a carbon. So fine, honey, nami, mum and masakli. Fine, that's exactly what you're doing over here. You're waiting until it develops a mum, and then you can eat it. All you have to do is you have to eat it following the dinim of bechor meiser. You can't assume that once it develops a mum and you poideh it, that it's completely chulun and you can do whatever you want with it. You still have to treat it as if it was a bechor. For example, that you can't. For example, you can't sell the meat in the marketplace. You can't weigh it the way that meat is normally weighed, etc. Yeah. So far, we've taken care of all the possibilities with the male animal. Okay, Tosfos asks other questions. What about, for example, if it was a carbon sibur that got lost? And the answer is, if it's a carbon sibur that got lost, Beis Din can make a tnai and say that if the animal gets lost, then it becomes cholin. They're able to make such tnai, but individuals don't.
They cannot make it for yachi.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now let's continue. We learned in the Mishnah that if it's a female animal, you have to assume it's a shlomim. Again, dilma todi. And again, the answer is the Maisi Toda. Fine, you bring a Toda. Again, according to Tosfos, you bring another animal for a Toda, and you make the double Tanai. According to the Rambam, you just bring one animal as a Toda. Okay, but Abba Inim Lechem, don't you need the Lechem with it? The Maisi Nami Lechem, fine, you bring the bread. The Duma Chatasi, what if it's the animal is a Chatas? And a Chatas, in many cases, as we're going to say in a minute, the Chatas that you can't bring as a carbon Chatas has to be left to die. How can you have what are you supposed to do with it over here? The answer is chatas bas shnasa, yes, but a chatas is an animal within a year old. The ishtakach bas shteshan, and the case we're talking about over here is the animal that you found is in its second year. Some of the Farshim say that actually this means the Gemara is going back on its answer from before. We don't have to answer like before that the animal is davka within its first year in the case of a male animal. We could say it's even in its second year. Because in the case of an osham, it's not such a serious problem. If it's a male animal, it can't be a chatas. An individual chatas is always a female.
Right.
But before, the Gemara had to assume that it was an animal within its first year in order to avoid the osham problem. But maybe we don't need that after all. The fact is, an osham, if you can't bring a carbon, if you can't bring an animal as an osham, you just wait till it develops a mum. So fine, that's what we're doing anyhow. So therefore, the Gemara may not have to use that, and therefore we can just answer like we're saying over here that both male and female animals we're talking within their second year. But there are Mepharshim who say that the Gemara is in fact talking two. The Rambam, for example, says that we're actually talking two different cases: the male animal is within its first year, the female animal is in its second year. Fine, but what if it's a chatas that was supposed to be brought when it was less than a year old, and now it got lost, and you only found it now after a year passed? It's just loshchiyah. Fine, but that's not a very common situation. Ishtakach bas shnasa mai. Fine, now you have the question, what if you do find an animal, what if you do find a female animal that's in it, that is in its first year, where it might have been a chatas, what are you supposed to do then? So actually, yeah, here's where Tosfos says the Gemara didn't ask that before about an osham. What if you find an animal that's 2 years old? Because again, osham roya, you just leave it to pasture until it develops a mum. And anyway, according to Rabbi Yechon, you have to anyway to wait until it develops a mum. The question is, by a chatas, because chatas is lemisa azla, chatas can't be brought, has to be left to die. So what do you do then? The answer is Tanya, Chananya ben Chachinayim, eiz bas shnasa lachatas. Yes, if you find a goat, or sheep for that matter, within a year old, lachatas, then it's for a chatas. What do you mean you bring it as a chatas? What if it's not a chatas? Ella, I'm going to buy a kachatas. It means you have to treat it. You're right. You have to treat it as if it was a chatas. You bring it, you take it into an enclosed area.
But if it was not a chatas and you treat it as a chatas?
You don't have a choice. It's a suffix. And the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai is that a chatas, that the any five cases of a chatas, Mesu Baalea, Neskapra Baalea, Tzmura, etc., then it's Azlo L'misa. It has to be left L'misa in the kippah over there. So therefore, that's what you got to do. The bottom line is, therefore, if you found a male animal within a year old, then we've covered all our bases. If you find an animal more than a year old, the Gemara didn't say explicitly, but Tosfos says that we can still assume there's no problem because you've pretty much covered all your bases, even if it was an osham. Fine, you're anyway leaving it to develop a mum, and that's exactly what you do with an osham that can't be brought anyhow. If it was a female animal,
more than a year.
If it's a female animal, if it's less than a year old, then you treat it as if it was a chatas and you leave it to die. And if it was more than a year old, then you know it can't be a chatas anymore. It's very, very unlikely that it's a chatas that's over a year old, that was lost and not found until it was over a year old. Therefore, you can basically assume that it was a shlamim or maybe a toida, and then treat it accordingly.
Between less than a year and a little more than a year, you could make a mistake.
That's the thing. Tosfos in Zochim talks about that we're not talking about you found the animal within its second year. A chatas just has to be within it. You have to be past its first year. It can be 3 or 4 years old. If you find a sheep that is a female sheep or a female goat that is 3 or 4 years old, already it's big enough that you can tell that it's not within its first year.
And therefore,
you have no problem. You know it can't be a chatas anymore. Mashenkin, you're right. If you find it, you could have an animal that's,
with
9 months still within its first year. But the point is, if you found, if the animal is actually 13 or 14 months old, fine. You might think that it's actually within its first year. But if the animal is 2.5 years old already, you know it's, yeah. Right?